jump, 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 jump. I said a hip hop, the hibbit of a hip hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp enough.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's your opportunity to hear me be in a room with a couple of other people who are friends and who don't always agree with me. Sometimes they don't agree with me about anything, but that's okay. You can have conversations. I mean, that's kind of what the idea of a society and civil discourse is supposed to be about, is that we can talk with people that we don't see eye to eye. Today's a good example. I've got Mike Kimbrell here in studio. He is the director of the Alfred Washburn Center, a local homeless advocate who's I've known for a long time. Gosh, I don't even remember how long, but about as long as we've lived here. Michael, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you very much.
All right, it's you got to get just a little closer to that mic. So
thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Perfect. And Josh Newby, of course, a longtime friend. We were in Leadership Pensacola together. He's the executive director of the Council on Aging of West Florida. And sometimes he doesn't agree with me either. Also, is that right?
I would say most of the time.
Did we disagree?
Yes.
Yeah, fair enough. There you go. And that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you can't be friends with people who disagree with me, it just means you're in love with yourself, because what you're seeing,
which I am also in love with myself.
No, fair enough. I mean, yeah, you love the echo of you, which is narcissism. Right, so that's right. Not that healthy. Before we get into substance stuff, next weekend you've got the Kites on the Beach.
Yeah, that's right. Kites on the Coast.
I said Kites on the Beach.
Well, it's Kites on the Coast, Andrew.
All right,
our disagreement has already begun. It is the Gulf Winds Credit Union Kites on the Coast, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This is the third year we've done it. Beautiful, huge kites flying at sunset. Hopefully the weather is great. It's a wonderful intergenerational opportunity to just really enjoy the beach in a unique way.
It's a very cool event.
Yes.
Third year?
That's right.
Third year. Okay. Let's get into a little bit of something. I'm just kind of curious, since I have two people who are on the other end of the spectrum from me politically. I've been talking about the State of the Union all morning. My short take is he showed that he can at least at times be high performing, and Katie Britt showed that she can be at least at times melodramatic. And not more to say, but
yeah.
You watch it. What'd you think?
I did watch it. I've been Biden's biggest critic. I'm a stalwart Democrat, a bleeding heart liberal, but I have been his biggest critic. I think he showed up last night. I think your comments are accurate that with proper prep and proper rehearsal,
and whatever pharmaceuticals they gave him,
he can turn it on when he needs to. It was more campaign rally-ish
Absolutely
than I was expecting. And I was particularly disheartened that he chastised the Supreme Court.
Yeah,
I thought that was inappropriate.
To their face.
That's
when
right.
They are not allowed to say anything.
That's
back. Right.
Yeah.
I thought the Republicans were out of line many times.
Yeah.
For heckling
back. I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, but not just her.
Yeah.
You know, lots of other people.
Yeah.
Michael, I don't know if you watched it, but
I did not. I was smart enough to go to bed early last night.
I envy
Gosh,
you.
Man. Seriously.
Yeah, I got 2 hours of sleep last night. So between
Lord.
Writing transgressors, watching the various meetings and Senate hearings and all this, and watching that speech, I am going to go home and crash.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Mike, one of the things that I wanted to ask you about specifically is the new camping ordinance that's been passed. I think it's not been signed yet. And the short version of it is cities and municipalities are going to have to enforce the no camping on public lands, for example, streets, obviously, but sidewalks, paths, parks. But they also have to provide a space where they can go. It's not just to get out of here, but it has to be a go over there, which has to have services, security, theoretically, you know, running water, latrines, whatever. And then if people perceive them to not be enforcing the no camping or overnight sleeping ordinance, then they can have a cause of action against the city or the county to force them to do so. Businesses and or private persons have that right. To me, it's a weird ordinance. I don't know how it's going to flesh out. It's certainly going to cost money. I'm always optimistic about solving a problem, but I'm sure you have a view, and I wanted to ask you your view of it.
Well, so here we agree. This is a very strange law. I may have misinterpreted it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they have to provide campgrounds. I think they have the option to, if they would like to, and then they can only exist for a year.
That's right.
And
I don't think there's a – it's kind of a weirdly written – it's not a mandate to have the campground, but there's –
there's mandates once you put in the campgrounds.
Maybe there is. I just don't remember. I thought there was a requirement that they couldn't enforce unless because that's part of the Supreme Court ruling, right? Is the Oregon case kind of says that's going to get towards the Supreme Court that you can't kick people out unless you have space for them. And so I think that's the part of the law. And I apologize for being fuzzy on that part.
No, and I'm fuzzy on that too. It really is going to be how it's enforced and mm-hmm. how and what that looks like. But then there's no funding mechanisms put in place for municipalities to do this. Mm-hmm. And then the real kicker is that whatever they do put in place cannot lower property values.
Right.
Which sounds like an impossibility to me.
Right.
You know, because that's all on perception. And currently our society's perception is that homelessness lowers my property values. And
right. So, I mean, look at your experiences with your neighbors at Satoshi Forest, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's absolutely, that's the perception. I guess naively what I was hoping is that if this goes into place, which I think it will, that the city and the county would finally have the kick in the pants basically to find a place where they can create a public camping opportunity for the homeless, which theoretically, instead of being in the swamp, instead of being behind on Brent and, you know, properties that are owned by other people, you know, instead of that, there would be some place. I'm not really clear why the 1 year limitation exists, because it seems like if you find a good place, why would you suddenly have to move it?
Right.
Before we get to Josh's thoughts, let's get a quick traffic on the fives from Jake.
I'm not seeing anything out there on the roadways to report. If you do see anything out there slowing us down, let me know on our traffic tip line. Call or text 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Josh, your thoughts about the camping requirement or the idea of this requirement?
Yeah, I mean, I largely defer to Michael. He's the expert, but it the unfunded part of it is right. What is frustrating to no end. And as we were talking before we came on air, originally a part of this bill was they were going to take continuum of care dollars in order to pay.
Tell people what that is because they may not know.
So, Michael, why don't you explain continuum of care? You're probably better.
Yeah. So our continuum of care is basically supposed to be our community. Everyone that has got a vested interest in homelessness. So that ranges from law enforcement to activists, and nonprofits, the county, the city, just everyone that has a vested interest in homelessness coming together. We have a lead organization,
right,
which currently is opening doors.
That's right.
I've been sitting on the governance of that and the re-governance of that. And they've recently shifted the meetings that I can't now make, but it appeared to be in complete shambles. We don't have a continuum right now.
That's right.
And it took me a long time to really even feel like I had an understanding of the concept. Think of a hospital. Okay. Mm-hmm. And in a hospital, you have the ER and you have the surgery and you have recovery and you have long-term care and you have all that. Well, imagine if you had a hospital that was all devoted to services for the homeless, all the different kinds of services for the homeless. The continuum of care is the concept of having that entity. Now, obviously, it's not in a building that way, but it's as if you had this community services umbrella for all the different components that might affect homeless people. That's a continuum of care, and it has to be overseen by an agency. So
right.
they were going to pillage that money.
That's right. And it generally starts with opening doors. They're sort of to use your metaphor, sort of the triage mechanism.
Okay.
So they were going to pillory those dollars in order to fund this. I don't know what's worse, taking that money or just having an unfunded mandate, period.
Right.
But it speaks to the problem of housing, not only here, but nationwide.
And the theory, again, as I understand it, is partially to declutter public spaces where homeless people stay, and to prevent there from being impromptu camps like we see all over the country. And, you know, we do see some of that here, and to, you know, create a place where you could have it, basically. I assume that it's going to be inconvenient. You know,
yes,
because obviously convenience is a major factor of life for the people who are homeless, and, you know, the inconvenience of it and just the logistics of running a safe camp. We know from experience that that's a hard thing to do, right?
It can be. But it also pushes homelessness off of public land onto private land. And so this is the government.
Well, it would be on public land.
The camp is public land. Yeah, but it's unrealistic because it also has to be drug and alcohol free.
You're
going to have a large group that cannot be on public land, won't go to these camps,
right,
and so they're going to go to private land, and they're going to be coming onto private citizens and businesses' property, which will then trigger the mechanism to sue the municipality, and so we'll probably see a heavy law enforcement presence on this, which, ends up criminalizing the problem, which mm-hmm. is exactly what we don't want to do.
Right.
I feel like the county, Escambia County, has really been dragging its feet on either providing a, you know, a low barrier shelter or providing an outdoor campground of some kind. You know, they nixed the one location because the commissioners didn't like the NIMBY effect of the neighbors, and I can't really argue with them about that. But find a location somewhere else, and it's always been high talk, let's do this, and no real doing of either one of those things. Is that where we're at, basically?
I mean, it's so much worse than that. I mean, like, the county's been sitting on, what is it, $4 million of ARPA funds that for, like, 5-6 years now? I mean, something like that. I mean, like, that Grover spent his portion of it.
Yeah, the city spent quick. Portion.
Yeah, and it's right. already gone, and the county's still sitting on it, you know, while...
And the ship dollars.
Yeah, and the
unutilized ship dollars. I mean, lack of creative housing
solutions. Tell people
what
ship dollars are.
What does SHIP stand for? It's SHIPP. It's money from the federal government where you can take the county inventory of land, of free land, and essentially zone that, how you will, for creative housing solutions.
Okay. State Housing Initiatives Partnership Program.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. So
Jake's got the fastest Google in this room. I love
so
it.
So the county is kicking the can on creative housing solutions.
Won't sign the tiny houses ordinance.
What's that?
Won't approve tiny houses.
That's right.
County.
As recommended by the Affordable Housing Advisory Committee, there's a document called Appendix Q that exists in the state of Florida that almost every other community in the state has adopted this slightly loosened regulation that would allow tiny homes in the county.
Including the city.
That's right.
And the city already has them. I mean,
yeah, I'm working on a tiny house project in the city myself.
And I haven't been there, but the ones on Pace are up, I assume, by now, or they're in progress.
Jim Reeves.
Jim Reeves is the one that they annexed into the city.
That's
right.
Right. And imagine the amount of red tape and bureaucracy just to have some creative housing solutions. It's infuriating.
Yeah.
Okay. I had to kvetch there.
No, that's fair. That's why I wanted to bring it up, because I knew both of you, because of your work with the elderly and because of your work with the homeless, which are sometimes an overlapping category, obviously, but that you would both have a perspective on that, and that's why I wanted to bring it up. Jason Pizzo is a senator in Tallahassee. He's termed out, and he's probably my favorite Democrat, and he's a very articulate, he's a lawyer, he's trouble, he always asks the right inconvenient question, he always makes forceful points, he never says dumb things, not typically. So I enjoy him. I like people who disagree with me and are smart, because that makes me be honest about the thing. He gave a speech this week, he was talking about the passage of a condominium repair and maintenance reform bill that is going to cause people to have to pay more for their condo fees. Because now we're going to finally be forcing them to do a whole bunch of things we should have been doing all along. And part of which, you know, had we been doing it, maybe the Surfside collapse wouldn't have happened.
Okay.
And he specifically said, you know, he filed this bill 5 or 6 years ago. I forget. He filed it 5 years ago, a year after that, 4 years ago. Couldn't get anywhere because he's a Democrat.
Sure.
And eventually he went to a woman whose district is on the Florida-Georgia border and doesn't have any condos in her district and got her to put 2,000 hours worth of work into passing a bill to create condo reform. For people that aren't even in her district.
Yeah.
Because she's a Republican.
Sure.
She could get it passed. And he said, you know, it took people dying and a Republican sponsor to get this bill passed. Partisanship killed people was his phrase.
Yeah.
But he went further than that. He said, you know, there's been all kinds of bills over the years that he has come up with ideas, can't get anywhere, and somebody refiles it like protesting in front of somebody's house. That was his idea.
Mm-hmm.
And brings it back with a Republican, it gets passed. Don't pollute the waters with the balloons. That's now passed as a Republican bill. And he says, it's ridiculous that you all, with your supermajority, won't even listen to our good ideas. I have to, and I don't mind. If we get it done, we get it done. But I have to go through these channels in order to accomplish these results. And my take on this was, it's a really dangerous thing when anybody has too much power. And the Republicans in Tallahassee have too much power. And as a result, they do dumb things. Now, they do also smart things that I agree with. But when you don't have to bring the other side into the conversation ever, you do dumb things. You know, the three-person majority block on the Escambia County Commission, they do a lot of good things. They do a lot of dumb things.
Right.
And so there's value in that minority voice having real power. We see that in city councils. We see all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was such an interesting, I thought, a powerful observation. And I just wanted, I don't know, I've made it for him, but I want to give you a chance to react, because however you want to.
I mean, I think that's powerful, and we do a lot of statewide advocacy as part of our statewide network. And he's 100% right. You have to pitch certain ideas as having a conservative bent, as having a conservative benefit. And I have seen great bills die in committee, die on their first reading, in their first committee.
Or not even get there.
Or not even get heard because of a Democrat.
Right.
You're absolutely right.
Or an amendment in committee that really makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, no, because it's a Democrat amendment. And I'm like, what are you doing? It's a win.
It's infuriating. And I feel like people, I mean, I know these people, especially our local delegation, they welcome disagreement.
Right.
They welcome conflict. So what is it about the system that disincentivizes conflict and worthwhile friction from moving forward?
What was the thing that Doug Broxson said? He said that the first year he was in the House, he didn't vote. I think it was for leadership, because that's an initial thing. He didn't vote for leadership the first time around because he's like, I don't even know these people. I don't know if they're going to be any good at this, because it's a weird system in the House where you elect the future speaker 6 years in advance. And he said, I declined to vote for it, and I didn't get a committee for several terms.
Yeah. You have to play the game.
That's disgusting.
But also the only way to change the dynamic is
to play the game, to get the power to be able to affect
exactly.
the game. Michael?
No, I mean, I agree with y'all. I even see it like on a local level, like when we were being sued by the county for Shitoshi Forest, mm-hmm. I got much further by using my libertarian arguments than I mm-hmm. did with mm-hmm. like, you know, this is the right thing to do for people. It was like, but I have private property rights, don't I? And everyone's like, oh, well, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times I have to shift my talking points depending on, you know, who I'm talking to.
Oh, 100%.
And by the way, I have seen more of that from the Democrats in Tallahassee recently. Anna Eskamani, you know, talking about freedom and property rights and parental rights, which, you know, is not her native tongue.
Sure.
But that's what I think. You know, they're smart to do it, and they almost can't believe it when Republicans don't hear them. But, you know.
So much of governance, effective governance, is consensus building.
Right.
And when you have a super majority and a governor who did have a lot of clout in the administrative levels, there's no incentive to build consensus.
Right. Yeah. And it leads to bad decisions and disaffected voters and constituents who feel like their voice doesn't matter, their issues don't matter, and you know, you build a much better harmonious society when everybody at least feels heard, when they at least feel like their issues were taken into account.
I mean, you've got it, just briefly, you've got a commissioner in Santa Rosa County, James Calkins, who will proudly not hear a word from a Democrat.
Right.
Who's an expert in her field.
In her field? What?
Right.
Oh, from the Mac. I thought you were talking about James. Yes.
No. Well, no, that too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I said that very much at the time. We'll come back to this in just a second. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
That was a funny joke that you didn't even tell.
That's right.
That was
great.
No. I got too hung up on the transgressors where we were gender-based. So sorry. Go ahead, Jake.
All right. I'm not seeing anything on our roadways to tell you about. No accidents being reported by FHP at the moment. Looks like Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is flowing smoothly. I-10 and I-110 are at posted speeds. If you're coming out of Milton this morning on Highway 90, I'm not seeing anything slowing you down. Gulf Beach Highway not showing any delays. And Lily and Jackson, Navy, New Warrington, all accident free on the west side. If you see anything out there slowing you down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Malcolm Young Jim, demolition. I agree with the legal analysis that they did not have any obligation to wait.
Right.
But I think it was bad politics. I think it's the same thing. I think that they,
man,
it would have been magnanimous. It would have been more statesmanlike if they had said, we're going to give you your 60 days to get the signatures and see what happens.
I was on your side. I really was for the duration of this thing. But I heard DC's comments on a rival radio station.
Huh.
And I think his point was well taken, that at what point does a small number of constituents have too much power and they can just keep stonewalling government? And that's not the way it's written in the charter.
And he said that here too. And there's value to that.
Right.
I agree. This was one of those cases where it seemed like enough people that maybe it was worth it. But, Michael?
I really don't have a dog in that fight.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, honestly, like, you know, I don't know enough about the building. It's in an area that's, you know, being gentrified or pretty much already gentrified for the most part.
Right.
And they see dollar signs. I mean, like, I take
him at his word that we're going to see most likely affordable housing on there.
Yeah,
now,
sure.
What affordable means in downtown Pensacola is a bit
There's a figure for affordable.
Right.
Yeah.
And I hope that. And
I can't afford it, but like,
it, yeah. Subsidize housing because they own the land. I hope that turns out to be the case. Or at least I think that's the most likely outcome.
How many people was it? Do you have a ballpark?
I think they're up to 3,000 or 4,000 signatures.
I mean, but it didn't start that way, When this conversation started, it was
15 or 20 people. Yeah. I think it was 6 people in the the organizational.
So what's
kind of
what's
thing.
The line? You know, and
fair question.
Yeah, yeah, and I
you know
I take
me,
the
a small
point.
Group of loud people doesn't tell you what's going on
exactly.
in the entire community.
Exactly,
I agree with that as well. Yeah. So again, I agreed with the demolition. I thought the demolition was the right choice.
Yeah.
Even though pretty much nobody really wanted to have to do that, but I thought that was the right choice. Mike Kimbrell, Josh Newby, the director of the Alfred Washburn Center and the Council on Aging West Florida, respectively. Thank
local
you so much,
talk
guys.
In the morning at 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.